Save big money on everything for your next bathroom project. Now at Menards. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. It is FFC as a new week begins in the National Football League. Week number 11 kicks off tonight in Baltimore. It's an AFC North rivalry and a divisional duel between the Bengals and the Ravens. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here on Football Full Circle, all a part of Sports Grid Radio, as a new week gets underway in the National Football League. Finally, Joe, it's a Thursday night football game. Standalone primetime contest that feels like just that, a marquee matchup between Cincinnati and Baltimore to start week number 11.
Yeah, and both teams coming off disappointing losses, right? Baltimore looked like they would blow out the Cleveland Browns, 2-touchdown lead headed into the fourth quarter, and they let that lead slip. And Joe Burrow and Cincinnati came out flat, ties Houston, and all of a sudden they get the last second field goal that allows the Texans to pull that ball game out 30-27. Unbelievable in terms of the events that transpired last weekend. But if you're Joe Burrow and you're Cincinnati, this is an opportunity to bounce back in a big way and challenge a Baltimore defense that has been phenomenal this year, especially in terms of passing defense. We'll see how it plays out. I'm leaning to the Bengals early on, Ben.
Yeah, me as well, Joe. In fact, I bet Cincinnati earlier this week a 3.5-point spread in favor of Baltimore at home tonight. The over-under is 46 total points. We'll talk about the primetime unders we have seen in a large, large way this year and what it might mean for this evening. But, Joe, the reason I bet Cincinnati at plus 3.5 on Monday afternoon was because by the time we get to kick, and we're still about 8 hours away from that, I expected this line to be probably 3. That flat field goal number still in favor of the flock, but taking advantage of the hook. We haven't seen any movement up until this point. Might we in the next few hours before kickoff tonight in Baltimore? Quickly, Joe, let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience on Sirius XM channel 159. Channel 159 is the home for Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Joe, with the line at 3.5 right now in favor of the Ravens and the over-under at 46, do you think we see any movement prior to kickoff tonight around 8:15 p.m. Eastern time that looks different from what we are seeing right here right now?
Maybe down to like a field goal. You know, we know about the injuries on the offensive side of the ball in regards to Cincinnati. You know, how does that affect their performance tonight? And just, you know, teams love taking the players love taking the 3.5 in terms of a divisional matchup game. You know, you're going to give them the extra hook on a key number. Why not? So I don't think we get past 3 either way, and I don't think we inch up to 4 in terms of this matchup. I think it's 3.5 for 3 by game time. I will say with this in regards to Cincinnati, their backs are against the wall right now. You know, they're not in the driver's seat. They started slow. They got over 500. It looked like they should have a perfect matchup last week. They should have gotten that victory, you know, if you're a Cincinnati backer. They lose it, and now they're staring potentially a 500 record record right in the face, and they're going to be coupled with a handful of teams right now, you know, including the Buffalo Bills. So there's no guarantee if they lose tonight that this team is a shoo-in to make the wild card. So, again, they need a step-up performance, and now I'm with you in terms of taking the 3.5, Ben.
Yeah, that's where I think this game is. Joe, it's very difficult to handicap motivation and mentality, right? But with the ramifications from this singular football game on a Thursday night in the Charm City, it's hard to not take that into account, right? Joe, the Bengals right now, 5-4. If the season ended today, of course it does not, always got to include that caveat, still 8 more weeks left in the National Football League regular season. But if the season ended today, the Bengals would be on the outside looking in at the AFC playoffs, courtesy of a head-to-head tiebreaker loss to the Houston Texans just a few days ago, this past Sunday in Cincy. If the season ended today, Joe, the Baltimore Ravens would win the AFC North. They have a half-game lead currently over both Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but the entire outlook of the AFC North, Joe, has changed dramatically in the last 24 hours or so with the season-ending injury to Deshaun Watson and knowing he will not be out there for the remainder of 2023 for this Cleveland side. So, Joe, when you take all that into account, if you had to bring in the idea of the mentality and the motivation, which team tonight, Joe, do you think this game means more to?
I think it's Cincinnati. Again, you know, 7-3 is not that bad, right? Baltimore still in the driver's seat and potentially has the best quarterback, you know, playing at an elite level in terms of Lamar Jackson. We know about Joe Burrow, but statistically not as dominant this year with the slow start. So, again, I think all the pressure and this game means so much more to the Cincinnati Bengals, because if they do lose and how they lose, if they do lose, let's just say by double digits, a 10 or 13 point number, questions are going to start to be answered or brought up about, you know, whether this team has the killer mentality and whether Joe Burrow and this offense are as consistent as they were over the past couple of seasons. We've seen glimpses. We just haven't seen the full-blown consistency from the start of the year to where we are right now entering week number 11. And part of that was the injury concern and the calf to Joe Burrow. But the other part as well is that they don't have any offensive balance. Joe Mixon is basically an afterthought in terms of the rushing attack. So without that attribute for that offense, teams are stacking the box and then obviously forcing Burrow to work over the top. And unless he has a dynamic performance, they're not winning ball games right now.
Yeah, Joe, the last few weeks, Joe Burrow has been adding it up through the air. At least 283 passing yards in 4 of the last 5 games for Cincinnati, correlated directly to that health, the right calf looking better and better, and obviously more success for Cincinnati. They did have their 4-game win streak snapped last week by the Houston Texans at home, but Burrow still threw for 347 yards, 2 touchdowns, albeit 2 costly interceptions late in that second half. But Joe, over the past 5 games, 12 TDs, only 4 INTs overall for Joe Burrow. We'll look at the quarterback comparison tonight between Cincinnati and Baltimore. But Joe, let's go to those AFC North odds. After the news to Deshaun Watson being out for the remainder of 2023 yesterday, Joe, the Cleveland Browns, who entered week number 11, following week number 10, with the second best price in the division at 2-1 after the come from behind miraculous victory on Sunday in Baltimore against the Ravens, they were only 60 cents behind, Joe, were the Browns for that favored price for Baltimore. Now, the Ravens have really been the favorites in the AFC North since Cincy dug itself a hole to start the year. Really, from week 3, week 4 on, Baltimore has been in that first place spot and in that favored position. But Joe, they were just +140 a few days ago, only 60 cents in front of Cleveland. Now it's back to a minus money price on Baltimore, -120 for the flock. The Bengals have the second best number at 4-1. Despite having the worst record technically in the division at this moment. The Browns, the third best price at +470. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, Joe, round out this group of 4 with the longest number to win the AFC North divisional crown at +490. Again, all of the stakes and the implications on the line tonight in Baltimore will continue to break down on the other side of the break. And then the bets that you need to know for Thursday night football that starts week number 11 of the 2023 NFL regular season. Come back and join us live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it's the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. Week number 11 of the NFL season kicks off tonight in Baltimore between the Ravens and the Bengals. Again, Baltimore, a 3.5-point favorite, the over-under 46. Joe, again, the ramifications of this game, monumental. Baltimore right now, 7-3. They have a half-game lead in the AFC North over both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns. Both of those teams at this moment are 6-3. Baltimore, a game and a half advantage up on the Bengals, who currently, Joe, sit in the basement of this division, but the AFC North is the best division of the eight in the NFL. All four teams above 500, the only division in the NFL that can say that. The only division, Joe, that can even say all four teams are an even 500 or better. Joe, as we look at this game, we talked about the AFC North odds, but it's bigger picture for both of these teams. Baltimore has that second best price in the AFC, 4-1, only behind Kansas City. The Chiefs, the shortest number we have seen all year, as those conference title favorites at +185. Then it's Miami at +490. Then a pretty significant drop off of over $3.50 to Cincinnati at +850. Joe, we know that regardless of what the result is tonight, Baltimore wins and covers, Baltimore wins but doesn't cover, Cincinnati wins outright, Cincinnati covers, whatever it might be, there is going to be some substantial market movement by the time we speak on Friday, or at least when we wake up on Friday morning following Thursday Night Football to start week number 11. What do you think that movement will look like, Joe, based on the result and the outcome of tonight's game?
Well, I think if Cincinnati wins, they'll definitely close the gap from 4-1 down to maybe 2.5-1 or in that area right behind Baltimore. I still think Baltimore would have the inside track because, you know, they're playing a little bit more consistent right now. But if Cincinnati wins, it all comes down to two, margin of victory. If it's a very tight ball game, I don't think Baltimore will move at all, but Cincinnati will close the gap. If Cincinnati somehow blows them out 10-plus points, then they're going to be right behind Baltimore. On the flip side, if Baltimore gets a double-digit win, they might extend to -200 in terms of the market because they are clearly the best team in the division. And right now, if they pick up a victory over Joe Burrow, they'd have the best, most consistent quarterback as well, especially with Burrow getting knocked out of this game, losing, and knowing what the situation is with Deshaun Watson. So we'll see. Again, it's a black and blue division. All four of these teams can still be there. I still think Cleveland has life at +470 to potentially win the division because of the defense, but that's why they play the games, Ben. It really comes down to if Cincinnati wins, what is the margin of victory tonight on the road?
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. I think if the Bengals win this game outright, we are going to see drastic market movement. The Bengals price in the AFC North, the Bengals price to win the AFC title. Joe Burrow's 17-1 MVP number becoming a lot shorter as well. The stats have been there for Burrow, Joe, in the last five games after the 1-3 start to this year for Cincinnati. It's just you need a little bit more team success. You need the Bengals on the inside, not the outside of that playoff chase at this moment. So, Joe, let's dive to the numbers of tonight's game. A 3.5-point spread in favor of Baltimore, the over-under 46. Joe, we have both said we think the Bengals probably have the better edge of that spread with the added on hook right now. Since he only been an underdog, Joe, once this season, it was a couple of weeks ago on the road in Santa Clara against the 49ers as a 4.5-point underdog since he won outright by 2 touchdowns, 31-17. Baltimore has been a favorite in 9 of their 10 games already this year. Joe, the Ravens have covered in 6 of their 7 games as well, 5 times as a favorite. The only time the flock in underdog in the original matchup between these two teams this year, week number 2 in Cincinnati, Baltimore, a field goal underdog winning outright 27-24. Joe, now let's talk about the total. 46 points. This will be the 33rd NFL primetime game of 2023. In the prior 32 primetime games, Joe, 25 unders. Will that incredibly strong trend continue tonight in Baltimore?
You know, it's crazy because this is the one game where I'm leaning to the under. It's off 47 and a half down to 46, and I'm probably going to be dead wrong because this game will probably be the one that sails through the total tonight. Again, I think Cincinnati playing on the road needs to utilize Joe Mixon. I think they need to utilize the rushing attack a little bit more to have a little bit more offensive balance and not be one-dimensional. So that, to me, would lean to the under. And we know that Baltimore, as good as they've been in terms of the passing attack lately, they still have a run-first mentality. So I lean to the under, but we'll see how this one plays out because I feel like all of a sudden I feel like I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah, Joe, it's crazy, right? Because you shouldn't be on the wrong side. You are backing the incredibly strong trends, 25 of 32 NFL primetime games this year, hitting the under. That is more than 78% of the primetime games we have seen in 2023. Joe, I think we see an over tonight. I don't know if that's the public approach, but when you look at the numbers for these two teams, Joe, in the past 4 to 5 weeks, the Bengals have scored 30-plus points in three of the last five games. They have scored 24 or more in three consecutive weeks. Baltimore, Joe, the best scoring defense in the NFL, despite giving up 33 to Cleveland last week, still only allowing about 15.7 points per game on average, has actually scored, Joe, that Ravens offense, 31 or more points in four straight games, over in three of those four. Cincinnati over in three of their last five. The first matchup between these two, 27-24, the final in favor of the flock, a Baltimore three-point win, 51 combined points over what this pregame number is going to be. But Joe, short week, week number 11, getting deeper into November, it's not easy to turn around, to fire the offense up, to get things going, certainly for Cincinnati on the road. So the under, I still think, could very much be in play this evening. Now, Joe, let's do the quarterback comparison between Burrow and Jackson. Lamar's passing yards prop tonight, 223.5. Joe Burrow's 30 yards more than that, 253 and a hook. Joe, we gave you the numbers on Joe Burrow, 283 or more in four of the last five, two consecutive games for Joe Burrow, 348 and two touchdowns against Buffalo two Sunday nights ago, 347, two touchdowns against Houston this past week. But Joe, when you look at Lamar Jackson, he's only thrown for 250 yards or more one time this year. That was against the Detroit Lions now virtually a month ago, 357 and three touchdowns. Joe, he's in the MVP conversation, but because his team has been good, not necessarily because the passing stats have been all that tremendous.
No, and we've seen OBJ get a little bit more involved in the offense, had a receiving touchdown last week, but I agree with you, and that is the main concern about why I'm not jumping in with both feet in terms of the Baltimore Ravens big picture to potentially challenge the Kansas City Chiefs. I think if both of these teams went into the playoffs, I have a little more confidence, obviously, in Joe Burrow because they've been there, done that, but in terms of back-to-back AFC championship games, as opposed to Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Again, yes, they have glimpses, but we haven't seen that offensive identity or consistency in multiple weeks in big ball games. I mean, I keep going back to the game against Indianapolis where it goes into overtime. The offense was inconsistent. He took sacks, didn't know his reads and progressions in terms of that ball game. And then last week he throws two critical interceptions that allow the Cleveland Browns back into that ball game to steal it. So again, if we're looking at it, yes, they need a better effort. Lamar needs a better effort when the game is on the line. And, when they blow teams out early and they start fast, they're a runaway train. It's when it becomes a four-quarter game, Ben, that's where we've seen the passing attack struggle.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. It's a really, really good point. We've seen Baltimore struggle to hold on to a couple leads in that fourth and final quarter this season. A few more thoughts on Thursday night football before we transition to college football and set the stage for the second to last Saturday of this college football regular season. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We're back on Football Full Circle in just a few moments. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. So, Joe, let's approach the matchup tonight in Baltimore between the Bengals and the Ravens with a couple of prop bets that we like. I like Joe Burrow, Joe, over his passing yards prop, but I really like Joe Burrow over his passing touchdowns prop. 1.5, the over a tad bit of plus money, still remains out there. Joey has thrown multiple touchdowns in 5 consecutive games for the Bengals. Again, 12 TDs to only 4 INTs in this 5-game stretch for Cincinnati. I think, Joe, if the Bengals are going to stay in this football game, I expect them to cover. Heck, I even think they can win it outright. Joe Burrow is going to be a big reason why, throwing for at least 2 TDs.
Yeah, I like the touchdowns. I don't know if he goes through the yards. And I keep going to the rushing attack of Joe Mixon. So, again, I'm with you in terms of the Bengals in this matchup. But I did take Mixon tonight over the 64.5. I took it, I think, last night. Let me just double check it. But, again, I think his rushing attack and his rushing number is where we go. 54.5, excuse me. Because it's light. You look at the last couple of games for Joe Mixon in the first matchup against Baltimore, he had 59 yards. He's got 3 games with a touchdown, but he hasn't really gotten over 60. I think tonight's the night. So I'm going rushing attack versus Burrow, but I could see Burrow throwing 2 touchdowns in this ball game, Ben. And I put it this way. If he doesn't throw 2 touchdowns, this game's going to be a dead under, and most likely Baltimore will win this matchup.
Yeah, I completely agree, Joe. If it favors Baltimore, if the Bengals can't get out in front against this Ravens side tonight, not going to be a good story. And Joe, Cincy's defense has struggled this year. 3rd worst rushing defense in the NFL. It's why I look at Gus Edwards to go over 44.5 rushing yards, now 45 and a hook. Joe, a number he's been over in 7 of the 10 games for Baltimore. We expected some changes to the offensive schematics for the Ravens this year under new OC Todd Monken. There has been, Joe, but it's still a team that runs the football and runs it very, very well. Best rushing offense in the league, averaging 155 yards per game. And Joe, I love Keaton Mitchell. I love what the undrafted rookie out of ECU is doing. I looked at his prop initially, 34.5, now on the rise up to 37.5. And I wanted that number, Joe, but still at this point, he's a big play threat. He's not necessarily getting the consistent amount of carries that Gus Edwards is, who had 11 carries last week, only 24 yards and a touchdown against Cleveland. That was one of the 3 unders, Joe, of this 45.5 rushing yards prop for Gus Edwards this year. But still the guy that has had double-digit carries, and every time, Joe, outside of last week, he has had double-digit carries this year. He's been over 44.5, 45.5, and he's also scored 7 times, Joe, in the last 4 games.
Yeah, he had 3-1 game, right? So, you know, against Seattle, Gus Edwards hit pay dirt 3 times. Now, Keaton Mitchell, 2 games ago, right, had a 100-yard performance. He's a home run hitter, to your point. Here's the thing. Do they do it with Mitchell and Gus Edwards, or do they do it with more Lamar in terms of the RPO tonight and using Gus Edwards in terms of goal line situations? That's the animal in the room, right, when you think about it. The elephant in the room, how do they attack this Cincinnati defense, which is shown to be pretty effective in run support, even though they gave up a ton of yards to C.J. Stroud, didn't give up a ton on the ground. That's now 4 straight games where the front 7 has played very well. So, again, if you're going to change that, it might be the quarterback in terms of Lamar Jackson with his feet as opposed to his arm tonight.
Yeah, 46.5, I believe the number is, for Lamar. He's been the leading rusher for this Baltimore team multiple times throughout this season already. Joe, no T. Higgins tonight, excuse me, for Cincinnati. No Sam Hubbard on the other side for the Bengals. Joe, if you're thinking Joe Burrow has a good night, is it Ja'Marr Chase? Is it Trenton Irwin filling in over 33.5 receiving yards? Where's the look?
You know, I always go to the usual suspects in terms of this, you know, but I'm not playing him tonight because Tyler Boyd has to be a look in regards to the offense in terms of 43.5, a very short number. And it probably, I think, would be Mixon as well. I expect that, you know, and I'm banking on this. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Mixon's going to have, you know, the bulk of the load in terms of the rushing attack, and he's also going to catch some footballs out of the backfield. 19.5, very short number, and then he goes to Chase if they loosen up the defense that way. Because if you're Baltimore, you're definitely without T. Higgins taking away Jamar Chase. You're double teaming him. You don't want Joe Burrow to get into a quarterback rhythm with his former teammate in any capacity. You want to take away that option first and then go to the secondary and third looks. That's why I think it's Boyd and then more importantly Mixon out of the backfield tonight.
Yeah, interesting as well, Joe. We saw Marlon Humphrey get injured on Sunday in Cleveland. He's supposed to be out for a little bit of time. Maybe that helps out this Cincinnati passing attack tonight. Joe Burrow, again, 253.5 is that passing yards prop. All right, Lisey Guy, let's turn our attention to college football now. A lot has happened this week, Joe, in the courts when it comes to CFB. Earlier this week, a Washington, state of Washington, local judge awarded voting rights power to two Pac-2 members that remain after the 10 others departed their conference. Oregon State, Joe, and Washington State have full voting control of the board to deem whatever they see fit. Now, they can't be harmful in what they do to the 10 departing members, but when it comes to voting rights and revenue, it's all in the favor of Oregon State and Wazoo, mainly meaning, Joe, for the future, the Pac-12 or Pac-2 brand stays with Oregon State and Washington State. It will be interesting to see how that plays out starting next year in 2024.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for both of those schools, and deservedly so, right? The other 8 schools left them high and dry and basically cut them out. Now, I did see where there was something that just came out. I don't know if Pete Thamel put it out in regards to the scheduling. Did you see that in regards to Oregon State and Washington State? 7 Mountain West games, and then 1 game, respectively, with Washington State and Oregon State. Washington State and Oregon State can't compete for a Mountain West title. So this is what it's all about now. You know, rightfully, those two teams deserve a huge piece of the pie, 100% of it. It's just that what is left in terms of the football aspect, the only option is the Mountain West right now, right? That is the only, they left them with no other alternative, Ben.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. It's a really good point, right? They will have that scheduling model that coincides with the Mountain West, a scheduling alliance, so to say, that proposed right now, nothing finalized, but the Mountain West will play 7 conference games, and then one of their teams would play either, that being Washington State or Oregon State, so that will fill out a lot of the schedule for the Beavs and the Cougs. Joe, speaking of those Beavs, what a big game it is Saturday night in Corvallis, a top 15 tilt, number 5 Washington on the road against number 11 Oregon State. And Joe, the Huskies are the dogs for the first time this year. A line that opened slightly in favor of UW, Joe, has now completely flipped and even continues to work in favor of Jonathan Smith and the Beavers. It's a 2.5-point number, Joe, in favor of the Beavs. Do you agree with this movement? Do you think the right side is favored entering Saturday night's matchup?
No, I don't. And actually, I'm taking the other side with Washington, and I'm stepping up. Again, Washington's starting to show consistency. They're starting to win ball games at the end of the year, and that's what you want to see in terms of teams peaking at just the right time. And this is not a knock on Oregon State, but they, to me, are not playing as consistent in back-to-back weeks from what we saw right now, right? They started out like gangbusters and just picked them up and put them down in Corvallis. Struggled against Arizona, struggled against Colorado in regards to not covering those numbers. And again, you just look at it right now, I think this is a perfect spot for Washington to strike the upset. I can't believe I'm saying that. Strike the upset because they have the better quarterback. Again, I think it's a close ball game in the first half, but I'm taking the Huskies outright, Ben.
Yeah, Joe, a lot of public love for Oregon State. And you are a man that believes in Jomo and not Joe Poe. And Joe, when I think about this, it makes sense to see Oregon State as the favorite in Corvallis on Saturday night. Since 2021, Joe, when the transformation really started for Jonathan Smith back at his alma mater in Corvallis, they have been nearly unbeatable at home. And Joe, they are 16-1 against the spread as a home team since the start of 2021. They are the only team, Joe, that has been an FBS program for more than a single season that is covering above a 75% clip. And that 16-1 ATS mark is a cover percentage, Joe, of 94%. That is how good Oregon State is. It's why it's a house of horrors in Corvallis for other Pac-12 teams or anybody to make the trip up there to take on the Beavs. But Joe, Washington has not been an underdog this year. Was a dog twice last year, and the Huskies won outright in both of those games as an underdog. There is so much movement to Oregon State, Joe, that I think we're slightly discrediting this Washington team. I know they're 2-5 against the number as the favored side in the Pac-12. They have not been overly impressive, Joe, in terms of margin of victory. But I thought the win last week, holding the Utah Utes scoreless in the second half in Seattle, Joe, spoke to what this Washington defense can and might look like, or at least have to look like, Joe, against this Oregon State rushing attack on Saturday. Now, Utah still ran for more than 100 yards as a team, but Joe, their leading rusher was Bryson Barnes, the quarterback. Jaquindon Jackson didn't go over 35 rushing yards against this Oregon State side, or against this Washington side, excuse me, last weekend in Seattle. Nobody ran for more than 40 yards against this Huskies defense. That will be the task, Joe, as they face off against Damian Martinez, the leading rusher in the Pac-12, Deshaun Fenwick, providing that contrast to Martinez in the backfield for the Beavers. And, of course, DJ Uiagalelei in a very big spot at home for Oregon State on Saturday. We'll talk the Pac-12 championship implications as Washington remains unbeaten. Up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
So it's a 2.5-point number in favor of 11th-ranked Oregon State as they get ready to take on 5th-ranked Washington at home in Corvallis on Saturday night. Joe, it's a game between two teams, of course, in the heat of a Pac-12 race. Washington, not just in that Pac-12 championship race, Joe, but certainly in contention for a national championship and a college football playoff appearance. Right now, as we look at the conference title odds in the Pac-12, Oregon is the favorite. It's minus 230. Washington, second best price, plus 210. Oregon State, Joe, 15-1. Arizona, 29-1. Only four teams, even theoretically, Joe, still in the running for a Pac-12 conference championship in the final year of this conference. Leesy guy, Oregon, the hefty favorite, despite already having a loss to Washington. The Huskies are undefeated this season. Oregon State has two losses, Leesy guy, but they do have an opportunity playing both Washington and Oregon in the final two regular season games for hope of a Pac-12 title appearance that opening Friday in December in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, and they're built for a potential championship run because they run the football with Damian Martinez and they have a very physical defensive front. They get struggle and get put into a disadvantage, I believe, when sometimes it becomes a shootout and you force the game onto DJU's shoulders. And at times he's been inconsistent. It's statistically much better this year than it is years at Clemson, but that still is the weakness of Oregon State. So how does he step up in terms of this matchup? We'll see how it plays out, because here's the thing. If Oregon State, again, has to have a clean ride if they're going to win this ballgame. establish the line of scrimmage, run the football, break in early, and then, you know, slow down the tempo against Michael Penix. If Penix and Washington get the ball first, and in 3 minutes they're down the field with a touchdown, game on, and then that would favor the Huskies because of the up-tempo attack, right? Then all of a sudden you're going to need DJU to potentially throw for 405 touchdowns. And this isn't, you know, Colorado State that they're playing. This is one of the best teams in all of college football. That is the difference. They do have the home field. They have an above-average defense. They're going to need to win the turnover battle, but I'm still taking the more complete offense, and that is the Huskies.
Oregon State, Joe, a good defense, not the elite defense that Oregon and Utah can certainly claim. 20.5 points per game allowed for the Beavs this year, giving up 230 through the air. Joe, as you compare that to other Pac-12 defenses we have seen so far this year face off against Washington, fifth best in the conference, but Utah and Oregon, better numbers, and Michael Penix Jr., of course, back over 300 in a pretty significant way against the best passing defense in the Pac-12 last week. That was Utah. So, something to keep in mind here for the Beavs. It's not like, Joe, all of the onus is on Washington. They have a lot more to play for than that of Oregon State. But there are advantages for the Huskies to take advantage of, just like Oregon State might have the upper hand against a Washington defense that has struggled a little bit to contain anybody, but certainly stop the run, allowing 140 yards per game this season. Not a recipe for success. It's why Utah kept the game close, Joe, in the opening half, but ultimately Washington able to put it away. 2-5 against the number as a favorite, as they have been in every Pac-12 game this year, this time as the underdog. Hey, Joe, did you happen to take a look at the hypothetical line for a Washington-Oregon matchup in that Pac-12 title game on that Friday, December 1st in Las Vegas?
It's 6.5.
Oh, no, you're wrong, Joe. It's 7. Do you remember what one of your co-hosts on College Football Today said that an early look-ahead line probably would be 7 in favor of Oregon if an Oregon-Washington matchup did happen in the Pac-12?
You do, yes, but are we there yet? We're not there yet, so let's see what happens. You were right, but I also had another co-host, and I hope he's listening, that said Jalen Milroe would win the Heisman over Jaden Daniels, and how is that looking now?
Not great for him because Jaden Daniels keeps making history upon history upon history. And I'll tell you what, Joe, I'm betting the over on the rushing yards prop of Daniels this week against Georgia State. Elsewhere, Joe, in the Pac-12, we mentioned Arizona technically still in the running. Only 2 conference losses after surviving against Colorado a week ago. But, Joe, the Wildcats now back to being the slight underdog, albeit in Tucson, as they get ready to take on Utah. Still a top 25 game. As the college football playoff rankings have it, it's only a 1.5-point spread, though, in favor of the Utes. And, Joe, the money line has moved. It's a dead pick 'em. -110 money line for the Utes, -110 on the other side for the Cats. The over-under, 45.5. Joe, if the Wildcats have anything that say they are the underdog, it's been great this year. They are 6-0, a perfect 6-0 ATS as the dog this year. They are the second-best cover team in the country, 8-1-1 against the number, only behind UNLV, who the running Rebs right now under Barry Odom, the best cover team in all of college football. But Joe, when it comes to Arizona as the dog, 6-0 ATS, their last 3 games as an underdog in Pac-12 play, they have won outright. Knowing, Joe, that Utah is now firmly eliminated from Pac-12 title contention, despite winning the Pac-12 championship each of the past 2 seasons, how do you see the game Saturday afternoon playing out in Tucson?
Yeah, I've toggled with this game back and forth. The Jed Fish has done a fantastic job. Fajita's played lights out, one of the best quarterbacks over the past 5 or 6 games of the regular season. DJ Williams in that rushing attack with Wiley, a ground and pound. They could wear you down, and they're physical. There you are, blue collar. Again, is Utah motivated? It's back-to-back road games. They get the cover against Washington. They lose a very close ball game, you know, by 7 points, went toe-to-toe, lights out, and now here they are against a speed offense. Originally, I liked Utah, but thinking about it deeper and thinking about it in regards to the breakdown from the football aspect, I think Arizona's live. I would probably take Arizona, the fact that it's a 2:30 kick in Tucson. I'm going to take the Wildcats. I don't know if this will be on the court on Saturday, but I think the speed of Arizona on the perimeter could be the difference, and I'm not sold on Barnes on the road in a big spot. I'm going to take the Wildcats in the mild upset.
Yeah, Joe, it would be a very mild upset. On the money line, it would not be an upset as it's even minus 110 both sides. But, Joe, I hear your point. I love the under in this game, 45.5. Give me the under because we're talking about two great defenses at stopping the run and two teams that like to run the football. I think, Joe, at this point, with Arizona not only covering in 8 of their 10 games this year, but playing to the under in 8 of their 10 games, knowing Utah struggles offensively, being very one-dimensional against a really good ground rush defense that Jed Fish has built in Tucson. Give me the under in this game of 45.5. Joe, it's an interesting weekend, right? Of course, it's the trap weekend for Ohio State and Michigan with the game on the horizon, a court hearing tomorrow in the state of Michigan for Jim Harbaugh and UM against the Big Ten Conference. It's also a weird weekend, Joe, because in the SEC, it's that weird non-conference weekend in the second to last Saturday. I believe there's only 5 SEC conference games this upcoming Saturday, but it's highlighted, Joe, by a matchup on a Rocky Top in Neyland Stadium. It's Tennessee and it's Georgia. A 10.5 point spread, Joe, in favor of the Bulldogs. The over-under, 58.5. What does Georgia bring into this matchup, laying double digits on the road against the Volunteers?
Well, they bring consistency in a passing attack with Carson Beck that has been a little bit better than Joe Milton in Tennessee right now. Now, I will say Tennessee is riding a 14-game home winning streak dating back to 21. They win at home. They lose on the road. All 3 of their losses have come away from Knoxville. But Georgia stepped up in each and every get-right spot, right? Top 10, top 25 battle, Kentucky, Ole Miss. They just pick them up and put them down, and it's the offensive line and the defensive line that get it done for the Bulldogs in a big spot. This, to me, is a different animal. It's a tough ball game. I think Georgia's going to have to bring their A game. We know that they knocked off Tennessee last year in the trenches. They sacked Hendon Hooker 6 times in that ball game. Different defense, bend but don't break. But I think the rushing attack of Tennessee gets right. The fact that they're at home, they're coming off a disappointing road loss to Missouri. I think the tempo could affect Georgia in this matchup. That's a lower scoring game, Ben, but I think Georgia wins. Tennessee's within the 10.5 point number this Saturday.
Yeah, Joe, Tennessee is one of the best rushing offenses in the country. Top 10, 8th best, averaging 214 yards per game. Georgia is still really good defensively. 6th best scoring defense in the country. Top 10 total defense. Not as good, though, Joe, defending the run as they have been each of the past 2 years. Of course, we saw Cody Schrader have some success. Quinshon Judkins got to that 75-yard range last week before Ole Miss had no chance of running the football, getting blown out by Georgia inside Sanford Stadium. Tennessee has a variety of options to beat them. But, Joe, I look at Georgia's offense being the difference in this football game. I still don't think we give enough credit to what Carson Beck has done. Brock Bowers all of a sudden is back. That came out of nowhere. Ladd McConkey has been great this year as of late for Carson Beck, and the ground game is still very solid. Kendall Milton, Joe, over 120 yards last week, a big play threat on less than 10 attempts, and Dejon Edwards provides that consistency in the backfield for UGA. I think Tennessee is going to struggle with what Georgia presents offensively. Now, I don't love the line in this game, but if I had to lean aside, it would be Georgia covering as a 10.5 point favorite. Joe, elsewhere, as we talked about, trap weekend before the game with both Michigan facing off against Maryland and Ohio State getting ready to take on Minnesota. Still 2 very, very large spreads. Michigan, Joe, even in College Park, a 19.5 point favorite. We will see if Jim Harbaugh is on the sidelines for the Maize and Blue in that upcoming football game on Saturday. With or without Harbaugh, though, Joe, can Michigan cover as nearly a 3-touchdown favorite?
Yeah, they can, but I like Maryland to cover this line. It's back-to-back road games for Michigan. The week before Ohio State, Maryland playing very well, got the 3-point win and the push against Nebraska. Depending upon the book, they were laying 2.5 right before kick. And let's not forget, you know, last year in the Big House, Talia and Mike Locksley had a very good defensive game plan. They were down by only 7 points in the fourth quarter of that ballgame. They led for much of the first half. So I think they're going to be live. This is their Super Bowl. They're playing a little bit with house money. Definitely Michigan wins, Ben, but I'm taking the points with the Terps.
It's interesting, Joe. Maryland is 13-26 against the spread in Big Ten conference action under Mike Locksley since 2019. But they have played Michigan very tough each of the past 2 years. Last year in that trap spot before the game against Ohio State gave the Buckeyes all they could handle. I don't know, Joe, if I love anything in this game whatsoever, but Michigan has been really good about covering the number in Big Ten play, sign stealing or otherwise, 5-1-1 ATS. Ohio State, the other part of that equation, Joe, in the game, getting ready to travel to Ann Arbor in two Saturdays, but first up, they're at home for their final game of the regular season, a 27.5 point favorite in a game that features a total of 49.5 against Minnesota. Joe, what about the Buckeyes? Will they cover as a 4-touchdown favorite?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, Minnesota completely one-dimensional. This might resemble the way Michigan beat them down in terms of 52-10 that was. I can't see Minnesota stopping Marvin Harrison Jr. or McCord in this matchup. All Buckeyes, Ben.
Yeah, I think I lean that same way as well, Joe. The defense for Ohio State is an elite, and I mean elite, unit this year. I'm not really sure how the Golden Gophers muster up enough offense. We'll talk about some more college football looks up next, live here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, Lisi guy, just a few more minutes left right here on Football Full Circle before we head into the college football weekend. It's not till Saturday, but still we like to get prepped and ready to go. Joe, the Big 12 is going to be a fascinating case study over these final two weekends in the regular season. Texas is the only team, Joe, that has just a single loss in conference action this year. But behind them, Joe, there are four teams that are 5-2, including the Iowa State Cyclones, who the Longhorns travel to Ames to play on Saturday night. Joe, a hook on a touchdown, 7.5 in favor of Texas. What's the approach? Ames is no easy place to stroll into and come out with a W.
Yeah, contrast in styles, right? Iowa State more blue collar, Rocco Beck playing well. They grind out BYU last week, but this is a get right spot for Texas, in my opinion. You have to win this ball game. You have the speed. Playing in Ames, I think their front seven could shut down the rushing attack, force turnovers. I know they haven't been playing well, but I think Texas does win and cover this number Saturday. I think it's Saturday afternoon or night in Ames.
Night. 8 p.m. Eastern time out in Ames, Iowa at Jack Trice. Joe, I'll be interested to see how this Texas team performs now in the absence of Jonathan Brooks, who was having a sensational year for the Longhorns. A torn ACL in the win over TCU last Saturday night in Fort Worth. A really devastating blow for this Texas offense. But now the onus on Quinn Ewers to step up and play his best game of the year, Joe. They can avoid no hiccups. They can have no hiccups, I should say. They have to avoid all the hiccups here down the home stretch to earn that spot to the Big 12 championship game, where we'll see who awaits. Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Kansas State. All four of those teams, Joe, at 5-2 in Big 12 play at this point. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us today here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio. But we'll be back tomorrow starting at noon Eastern time to get you ready on a Football Friday. Talk to you then.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more, sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.